You are now listening to the London International Christian Church podcast.
Hey, all right, guys. Ready? We go to the church here again today, guys. Good morning. How's everyone doing on this special day?
Great.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Are you sure you're happy?
Yes.
If the world had to go to a war today, would you still be happy?
Yeah.
I say it again. If there was going to be another world war today, would you still be happy?
In Jesus, yes. But maybe not.
You know, it's an honor to stand before you today to, you know, just preach the word of God. But before I start to do anything myself, let's have God lead the way. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can be here together in this room.
Amen.
Father Lord, I know that wars upon wars upon wars have been fought, Lord God, for lives to just have peace. I know that wars and wars have been fought, Lord God, for freedom. To be set free from control, Lord God, from dictatorship. Even stupid mistakes have happened that have caused wars. But Lord, we know that there is a war that rages continually for the souls of man to get to heaven.
Yeah.
There's a war going on with the enemy who wants to take souls back from you, Father. But Lord, I know that our Redeemer lives.
Amen.
That you will continue to redeem every single soul on this earth, one by one. But I pray this very morning that you will put me aside, Lord God, and I can speak your very word.
Yes,
I can speak, Lord God, from your very word, Lord God. What you put on my heart for the region, what you put on my heart, Lord God, for myself, I pray that your word, Lord God, will move through every single heart in this room today. That will leave here as changed men and women. Will leave here, Lord God, as men and women inspired by you, God, to do even greater things. Thank you so much, Lord, for everyone in this room. Thank you for safety. Thanks for life. And I give you all the glory in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's an amazing sermon that I have for you today. And it might be a bit challenging. Might be a bit inspiring.
Okay.
Might be encouraging. Depends on what heart you have today. Depends on where you are at today. And today is also special because it is not just a century ago that literally the First World War ended, but also a special day because my dad was born on this day.
Wow.
69 years ago, David Shafetomi was born.
Oh, wow.
But unfortunately, he's not with us anymore. He's passed away, unfortunately. But I'm so grateful to have Hillary Springs here with us today as well.
Amen.
And we know it's just so encouraging to have parents and disciples come to church.
Yeah.
And I want to say, we love you and we're grateful to have you with us.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, when I think about what happened in the First World War, and I ask myself, why would the whole world go to war? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Why would you go to war? You want to kill each other out? It doesn't sound like what a normal human being would do.
Right.
And I was researching, okay, why did World War actually start? Who knows why it started?
Somebody got killed.
Somebody got killed.
Wow.
Just one person. A guy named the Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria-Hungarian Empire got killed. And the Serbians were like, we need to take this guy out because he's controlling our people, Bosnia. So we want to take him out so we can get freedom. And so the Austro-Hungarian Empire becomes very, very, very angry. Like, oh, this can't happen. So what do? They go to war. They declare war on the Serbians. But at that time in 1914, 1918, there was an alliance, a mutual defense alliance. What does that mean? So countries come together and say, okay, me and your buddies, me and your buddies. If I'm hurt, you come and help me. If you're hurt, I'll come and help you. So there was different deals going on. And so what happens? The Serbians declare war. The Serbians have war with Austria-Hungary. And the Russians say, you know what? We're going to help our friends in Austria-Hungary and we'll go declare war on the Serbians as well. And then, what did Germany say? Germany says, you know what? Our friends are Austria-Hungary. Let's go fight also against them. And then France says, well, we're going to go against Germany because Germany is helping those guys. And then what happens then? Japan gets in the middle also. Japan says, you know what? I'm going to fight on Germany's side. And then what happens? Italy says, I'll join also. And the U.S. says, I'll join also. And what will happen? We have two separate groups of countries. The first group, Russia, France, Great Britain, US, and also Italy. And then we have Germany, Austria-Hungary, Turkey, and many other allies formed together to fight each other. And I'm like, this is just total destruction.
Yeah.
It's an inside job to destroy one another.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can this happen? Why would this happen in life? From one man, death comes. You know how many people died in that day on this war? 17 million people died. 17 million. What was the population back then? 1.7 million, billion. 17 million souls died. And what was more challenging was like, how many were soldiers? How many were civilians?
Mm.
Half were soldiers. So actually, it would have been better to go to war than just stay at home and die.
Yeah.
You can just be in the battle yourself than to stay at home and die. And it made me think, wow, okay, so what is Christianity today? From one man, 17 million people die. But from one man, many souls can be saved.
Yeah, come on.
From one man, we have a new chance to have new life.
Yeah.
From one man, we can be raised again to have Christ life like Christ Jesus. From one man, we have a chance who redeems us and takes us back to heaven, who says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah, come on.
One man.
All right.
And so, in that case, if Jesus is that man, my question for you today is, are you still living like Jesus? My summary today for you is the Great World War, the spiritual world war. The Great World War, the spiritual world war. We've had two world wars so far, but I believe that there's always been a world war going on that you've not seen before. If you can, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Let's have an interactive session today, guys. Let's say, you know, if you, when you're there, you're going to hear glory together. Let's have a glory as a family together. Let's be engaged. I don't want anyone to fall asleep today. If you're feeling too comfortable, take off your coat. If you think you want to fall asleep, don't fall asleep. Let's make sure we're going to engage in the Word of God today. Amen?
Amen.
Revelation 12.
I'm there.
We're going to have
glory together.
Okay.
Glory.
Glory.
Amen. Amen. Revelation 12. Bible says there, pick it up in verse 7. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back. Sounds like what I just described, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. You guys are fired up to know that Satan is on this earth?
No.
It's like, oh my goodness. So I wake up every morning on this earth, and Satan is right here on this earth. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power, the kingdom of our God, and the authority of this Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens. So heaven is rejoicing. And you dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Oh my goodness.
Oh.
It's a pretty scary scripture. Bible says that war broke out in heaven. It says that the angels are fighting against Satan and his own angels. Eventually, Satan lost that war, and he was thrown down to the earth. But it says that they triumphed over him. Who were the day? The disciples. Those who have held unto his commands by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Question for you guys today. How is your testimony being? Because the only way to triumph over this spiritual world war that is going on is by the word of your testimony. What is your testimony? has the blood of the Lamb that has washed you clean created a testimony in you that want to help you to really share your faith powerfully to save souls from destruction. The Bible says in verse 17, "Then the dragon who was enraged at the woman went off to wage war against the rest of her household." Those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. And the church said,
amen.
Interesting here, we see that Satan went off to wage war against everyone. I think about the First World War. Well, physical lives were lost. But we have a spiritual war going on right now.
Yeah.
And it started before the First World War. Before the Second World War. Right from the very beginning in heaven, where you would think heaven is a joyful place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But war broke out there also. Mm-hmm. And that war was pushed out of heaven to earth. That's pretty encouraging, right?
Yeah.
You guys don't feel happy? I asked you guys, are you happy? You said you're happy, right?
Yes.
You're saying, you all said, if there's any war, you'll be happy, right?
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
You know, you all said okay, except for many. But everyone said they'll be happy, right?
No,
no, no. Victor was saying,
I said I would be happy.
Yeah, exactly. So, are you guys happy about this war?
No. Well, yeah.
So, but what do we do about this war, guys? What do we do? We are in the middle of a war.
Fight.
The question is, but do you really believe this, that you're in a war?
Yeah.
Do you really believe it? My brother always said to me when I became a disciple, it's a spiritual war, bro. The battle is real. He always said to me, it's the spiritual war, that was real. I was like, amen, bro, amen, I understand, yeah, amen. But after almost a year, two years, I'm like, yeah, absolutely, bro, the battle is real. I really believe that it's a spiritual war. Because what's going on right now, everyone in this room has inner conversations going on in your head.
Yes.
There's something going on in your head right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preaching right now to you, but there's something going on in your head right now.
Yeah.
Telling you, don't listen. I want to fall asleep. I can't stand this guy just screaming at me. You know, who is this prideful guy here? I can do better than him.
Mm.
There's a lot of inner conversations going on right now in your head. Right now. I was like, oh, this room, why is it too small? Everything is trying to distract you from really focusing your eyes on the Word of God.
Come on, tell me that.
It's a spiritual war. I mean, where is that going on in you right now? It's not the physical. It's in your very spirit. The fact that you came here this morning is you overcame one battle of that war. Because the difference in a battle and a war is a battle is it's a physical one-on-one in a sense. But a war is a more long-term strategic defeat or victory that's going to happen. But the question is, what is that inner conversation going on in you right now? Every day of your life. I got 4 points for you today.
Come on, bro. Let's help them.
I want to teach you how to win your own battle so that we can win the eventual war with Jesus.
Okay.
Point number one is pray. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. And you might say, but I know that. Well, let's see how your prayer life is when we go to the first scripture. Point number two, we'll let the Bible judge your prayer life today. Point number two is, to win a war, you got to know your enemy. The point is, know your enemy. Never act like your enemy. Never act like your enemy. Point number three. Obey God's word. Never deceive yourself. You might say, well, I am obeying God's word. Well, let's see what the Bible says in a bit. Point number four. Love the approval of God. Never the approval of man. Let's go to point number one. Daniel chapter 10. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Daniel 10. When you all get there, let's have a congregational glory. Daniel 10. It's amazing to be in London at this very time, 100 years specifically from when this war ended. And I think it's special that we can experience that a century ago. A perfect number, the war ended. And let's see in Daniel 10, let's see what the Bible says about prayer there in verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, Revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned what?
A great war.
I don't think you guys read with me.
Yeah.
It concerned what?
A great war.
The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. This is a brother who's like, you know, okay, all dry skin. You know, like those who are colored people, they know you have dry skin in between your hands.
That's,
you know,
right,
like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, no lotion, you know, no beef. Look at Christo, no beef right there. No steak, you know, but there was no choice food. No popcorn, no vegan food that is special origin. You know, or the lasagna that someone's always food side, okay, side of the kids. He always makes special lasagna, you know. No choice food. Daniel's like, I'm fasting for 3 weeks to get understanding. How's your fasting life, guys, going, guys? The guy, Bible says, he humbled himself. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen. And it goes on to describe this man. But in verse 7 it says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deadly pale. Wow. And I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Wow. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And the church said,
amen.
It's an amazing scripture. You guys understand what you're reading here? Daniel sees his vision, but he doesn't understand it. And he prays, God, I want to understand what you're telling me. Fasting, no lotion for 3 weeks. It must have looked like, bro, what's up with you, bro? Get in here, do I have a bath, a shower? It was like, no, I'm fasting. And the Bible says that Satan was the one who was withholding the answer to his prayer. How is your prayer life going? Have you given up your prayer life? Are you continually praying, knowing that the answer will come? Because you know that you are the key to the salvation of many souls. Because you are that soldier on the battlefield that is to save many, many souls. The Bible says that the angel said that, wow, once you started praying, we heard you. We heard you. Do you doubt in your prayer life? Do you doubt when the room is silent? Do you doubt? Because if you doubt, and actually, where is the word of God going to fulfill its purpose? And I'm challenging you today. You know, the only way you would not pray is because you don't have faith that it will happen. The only reason you would not pray is because you don't believe it will happen. The Bible says that Satan stopped that prayer from happening. And for us to really grow in that area of our lives so we can be changed and be transformed, keep praying. Keep praying. I think I want to cry something in the region. In the region, we always think that, wow, discipling changes me. When I get discipled in tough areas, I'm a better person. But the only thing that changes you is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Discipling just pushes you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer is what changes you. Prayer is what transforms you. You know, I love my wife, my daughter. She has this book with worms and ants and animals just to explain how everything grows. And there's this book there that shows the transformation of a butterfly. And how that grows all the way to become a butterfly. You know, it never stays the same in another stage. It's totally transformed. You grow from one stage to another. But when you look at your life today, it's the same way as 2 years ago. That means you're not being transformed.
Mm-hmm.
prayer is what transforms you to a new person entirely. Mm-hmm. A new person entirely. Question, how is your prayer life? And I get to church, the 1-1-1 challenge, right? How's that been going? The 1-1-1 challenge, how's that been going?
To love someone.
To love one person.
Mm-hmm.
How's that been going?
Good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
It's a bit quiet.
Yeah.
It's like, Wayne is like, looking at me like, what are you talking about, bro?
We're going after it.
You're going after it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I want to challenge you guys to pray about this. Specifically this prayer, I want you to fast and pray until you get that one person. One person who says, hey, I'm going to come to your Bible talk. I'm going to come to your Sunday service. I want to study the Bible here. Fast and pray. And some of you might be like, yeah, it's only 1 hour. I've done my fast. I'm finished. Might be 2 days or 3 weeks or a month. Who knows? One. That's all. Fast and pray until you get that one. You guys with me?
Yeah.
And when you do this, you'll see that God does answer prayers. You guys heard me?
Yeah.
Point number 2. Know your enemy. Never act like your enemy. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. So how do we really win against the enemy? How do you win your own spiritual battle? How do you contribute to this great war going on to know your enemy? You know, I was born in Nigeria, right? And in Nigeria, we have these traditions. We always go to the village when it's around holiday time or Christmas time, or every holiday you go to the village. And in the village there's all these superstitious beliefs about evil and witch doctors and magicians and all these things. So you go there, and each time I go there, I always feel a bit scared. And it was like, oh. When I was a kid, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, we're in the village. We're not in the city anymore, because the city doesn't have any demons. It's only the village that has demons. Just the villages have demons. So don't when the village is like, oh. And it's quiet, like sometimes like, oh. And there was at this festival. It was a masquerade festival. Always. Each time I went there, it was a masquerade festival. So you would go out and you would like see all these masquerades, African masquerades, oh, walking around and all crazy. You're this mask and you're scary, you know. And I was a kid, I'm like, what? You know. And my sisters, you know, we were bigger than I was the last kid. We'd go to this marketplace and we would all go there. I'm like, why are we going? And we'll go there and we'll go and see. And I was like, and you would run. Because they would parade, there'd be a parade. That's why they would go all over the village. So if anyone finds you, you get flogged. Mm-hmm. By, yeah. So it was a race. You're running away from this masquerade, and the whole village was all in confusion. And I was like, wow. But let's see what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians 11. I want you guys to know your enemy here.
Ezekiel.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11 first.
Okay.
Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And in verse 11, in chapter 11, it says, in verse 3, let's say in verse 12, it says, and I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. Mm-hmm. For such people, false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. To know your enemy, you got to know that Satan masquerades.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know he masquerades? He has a mask on? He has one face that you see, but on the inside, it's a different face. Mm-hmm. To know your enemy, you gotta be sure, like, wow, okay, is this something of God or is this of the devil? To know your enemy, you gotta ask yourself also, how is my behavior? Am I true also, or am I masquerading?
Mm-hmm.
Am I religious or am I righteous?
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan masquerades, two-faced. And I want to ask you a question. How are you living your Christian life? Are you masquerading? Because as a mask, when I saw this mask, I was like, wow. There was one moment we had, and I got caught by a masquerade, so I was there. I was like, oh. And you have this cane, African cane, so it didn't like get flogged, but like hard. And I was like, kidding, I was like, and then all of a sudden, this older woman just comes from nowhere. It's like, we're like in the movies. Exactly. The real angel came. It just came and just told the guy to stop. And she took me aside. Oh. I was like, oh my goodness. You see, when you are faced with the dark angel and you never stop praying, the real angel will come. The real one will come. Because the spiritual battle is for souls. You want to go and save people from destruction. But you know what? Satan doesn't want you to succeed. But it's not about Bible study from Bible study. It's about, wow, I'm fighting for the souls of this man. I'm fighting for the soul of this woman. You know, I've got some unfortunate news to tell you guys today. You know our brother Tim Fry, right?
Yes.
You guys wonder where he is today?
Where is he?
He's on a plane back to Switzerland right now.
Oh, gosh, no.
You know, Brandon and I, we had a conversation with the MCN yesterday. Jamie also, Michael, Dominic, everyone was speaking to him. But when he became baptized, he was fucked. I was like, yes, I'm ready to give up everything. Everything. And then last week, he was like, I don't think I can give up everything. And today, I called him this morning. And he came with me. He's seen us. And he came and was like, yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm torn. I want to be a disciple. I want to stay, but I gotta finish my course. I don't want to have this regret. And it's like, and that broke my heart. Because when you are saving a soul, you put your heart in it.
Yeah, sure.
Life and I know is like crying and praying for this guy. He made it. But Satan is so deceitful. Satan deceives. So it just sneaks in to just take a little bit of the heart again. But prayer is what works powerfully, guys. And I've got a conviction, like, man, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Keep praying. Even though maybe one single battle is lost, the war is not over yet.
Yeah.
The war isn't over yet. So I want to encourage church, guys. Even though Tim's on the way to Switzerland right now, I have faith that he will come back. I have faith that he will come back.
Yeah.
I have faith that he will come back. I have faith that he will come back. But the same way I have faith in you all, that you can do even greater things than that. That you can actually say, I'm going to go on this battlefield to save souls, to save lives. Let us not be masqueraders, but be righteous. You guys agree?
Yeah.
A third point for you is obey God's word. Obey. Never deceive yourself. Why do I say this? Let's go to Ezekiel where I was before. Ezekiel. I'm getting an amen when you guys are there. Ezekiel. In chapter, I'm going to read two chapters in Ezekiel. And it says in verse 11, then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorns you. Carnelian, crystallized, emerald, all these beautiful stones. Your settings and mountains were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You are on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You are blameless in your ways. From the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. Everything that God created is good. Everything is good until you sin. Satan was created good, but he sinned. We also created good, but when we sin, it's not good anymore. You guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to know who our enemy is, we need to know that actually he's a fallen angel. Who was once good, but is also sinful. Who wants to listen to a sinful person? Nobody wants to listen to a sinful person.
No.
No? You're like, well, I want to follow righteous instruction. I don't want to follow sinful instruction. You guys with me?
Yeah.
But what is interesting, it says in verse 17, it says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Who is prideful because of the good looks here? Chris is like, I look so good in all else. And he's like, I'm so beautiful, got beautiful hair.
I was skipped on that one.
You know, we shouldn't be prideful because of anything that we have, because it was God that gave us. So what should we do? Ezekiel 36. What Satan should have done. In verse 26. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit. Verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And the church said,
Amen.
The Bible says that when we keep to God's word, it gives us a heart of flesh.
Mm.
When we keep to His word, we have a heart of flesh. But when we depart from His word, our hearts get hard.
Mm.
Hard. So you ever wonder why people outside don't want to listen to you about the word of God? Because they don't want to obey God's word.
Yeah.
They've never obeyed God's word in their lives. But when we keep to His word, our hearts get softer and softer and softer. God's Spirit will never take us away from His Word as long as we go by His Word. You guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a war, you cannot go by what you feel like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, when you go into war, you have the soldiers, and one says, I don't feel like fighting today. Dude, we're in a war! I don't feel like shooting today. I want to go in my trench and lay down. What? I don't feel like, yeah, I'll do this today. You're like, you know what's going to happen? That soldier will leave in the army and the other one gets taken out.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a war. And in a war, what do? You go by the instructions of the commander.
Mm-hmm.
Who is our commander?
Jesus.
Question. Are you deceiving yourself or are you obeying God's word? I want to call out something in the region, guys. Can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Can I? You guys ready for it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think in the region, that is not be religious. That's just be plain and real with one another. So I've only seen a guy in the last couple of weeks say, you know what? I confess, man, I've not been sharing my faith. Only one guy said that to me. Only one person. Question is then, why would only one person say, I've not been sharing my faith? What about the rest of us? Where are the people who are open about it? Like, you know, guys, I know I'm in the battle, but today I just tanked. I just didn't do it. Amen. Tomorrow's another day. I think we need that question that we need to be open about the call of God that we're meant to have. Our call is to save lives,
yeah,
to seek and save the lost.
Amen.
But if we're not seeking to save the lost, let's be open about it and say, you know what, guys, today I just didn't seek and save any lost person. Point. Clear. Tomorrow I didn't do it. But you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to do it next week again. Today again. I'm going to go after it again. Just to make sure that I'm all about my purpose. What does that do? It means that you're this camaraderie where our family is together. We know that where our purpose is to seek and save love. But when we don't talk about it, it means like something hidden back there somewhere. It's somewhere. No. Talk about it, guys. Talk about it. Let's be open with one another. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, let's see what the Bible says in James 1. James 1. You get with me?
Yeah.
We're bringing it to a close. James 1. In verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? Do what it says. It says when you just listen to the word and nothing changes in your life, you're just deceiving yourself.
Yeah.
It's just pure deceit. And when you become deceived, you become useless. So, I want to challenge you guys today. Simple. This is a simple challenge. Just do what the Bible says. Just do what it says. It's simple, right? Just do what it says. Let's go after that 1-1-1-1. Just do what it says.
Yeah.
It's an easy, attainable goal. One. Fast and pray until you get that one person that you're going to love and save. I'm encouraged to see Mark here today.
Come on, Mark.
Encourages my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because Mark had a conversation yesterday with me, and I said, okay, but where are you going tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got something with my friends to do, so I won't come tomorrow. But he's here today.
Wow.
Come on, Mark.
Why is he here?
Mm.
Because he made a decision to obey.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, bro.
Yeah.
So in closing, my last point for you. Love the approval of God, never of man. Let's go to John 15. John 15. John 15. And we'll see what the Bible says there in verse 18. I wonder what baby that is. Is it my baby or the other baby? John 15 in verse 18. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. And church said,
amen.
This is an interesting scripture. It says, wow, if the world hates you, keep in mind hating me first. And I think sometimes we can be lovers of people too much and lovers of God. That we love man and please man so much, the approval of man, that we don't want to get in the battle and actually say, you know what? This is what the Bible says. Do it or leave it. Also with one another, but also outside. I had a conversation with a brother last week, and I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm losing my friends when I share my faith with them. I was like, fantastic. That's what the Bible says. That means you do not belong to the world anymore, but now you belong to God. You're really an apostle of God, a messenger. Question is, do you love the approval of man more than the approval of God? Because for us to really be the people God wants us to be, we need to do what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. A friend said to me recently, he said, bro, I hope you respect my views and I respect yours.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, like, bro, I just love you, but I wouldn't change my views because of what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be there for you, but it's still the same message like what I told you last year. The same message. You got to become a disciple. And so, for us to really be the people we want to be and see that this world war that keeps going, it isn't about being religious. It's really see like, man, I got to save lives. I really got to save lives. Because if 18, 17 million people died from World War I, how many are dying today from this spiritual world war?
Mm-hmm.
My father died on this day. My father wasn't a disciple. And this morning my mom sent a message like, wow, I pray that the God who forgives will do great. It's like, I thought we were so deceived. And we don't know that actually, when you live this earth without making Jesus your Lord, and you get there, Jesus would be like, I don't know you. And it hurts in my heart, but it's difficult to feel what that feeling like, that my dad never made Jesus Lord. Never was made into a disciple. It doesn't change the scriptures. It doesn't. But if that's my dad, what about all the people that you know in this world? I think everyone in the room knows at least 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
At least. And even if you've only said one word to them one day. At least 100 people.
Mm.
And if the World War I killed 17 million people, what is this spiritual world war that Satan is scheming and attacking and stealing to destroy lives? What is it doing right now? And I hope that you can really see in your heart. You know, this message is not like I want to let you guys see the reality of it. That you see that Satan is evil. He's lurking around, seeking to divorce souls. People are saying like, I'm spiritual, I'm a Christian, but they don't even know what the Bible says. People are saying, I'm going to church, I attend church, but they don't even know what it means to really go to God. People are saying, well, I don't want to even be anything with God, and they're like, I'm going to face God one day and I don't care. People are lost out there. And it's a compassion for the lost that moves us to win the individual battles that we have. If you think your problems right now are more heavier than a lost soul, then something's wrong. If you think your own personal problem is more important than a lost soul, oh my goodness, then we need to have a different conversation. Because a lost soul is worth everything to God. Everything. Think about the parable of the prodigal son. I see the father just standing there, just looking, just waiting for him to come home. Waiting. I think about him right now. I think like, he comes back home. Think about Kofi, fellow. I think he comes back home. Think about people who fell away from God. I think they come back home. Think about people who are lost out there. That made me think, like, wow, guys, 17 people died. 17 people died today. 3 years ago. It's to go out there and save lives. To save lives. It's not that, wow, this world needs to be saved. We gotta, let's not deceive ourselves. Michael said something to me. He said, you know the reality by the stats. You know the reality of everyone's walk by what they're doing. The results in their lives. You can tell a tree by its fruit.
Yeah.
Who are you? You know, let's be serious with each other.
Yeah.
Because Christianity is not a show. It's not a parade. It's not about putting my best clothes to come to church and I have my nice suit. Oh, hallelujah. You know, see glory, one now, see Jesus. Perfect. We praise God. We praise God by saying, God, I bring you this one more safe soul.
Yeah.
This one more person who was lost but is now found. You know, lost his dad. He lost you, but he has you back now again. One more soul. I want to encourage the church to know that today is a day. Remembrance Day is not a day to remember all men, World War I, but to remember that, wow, there's many more souls out there who need to be saved. I hope that you have it in your heart today, because if you struggle with feeling a compassion for the lost, you need to have another talk to help you to see that people are lost. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I'm there yet. I'm saying that I want to get my heart there also so I can be able to save more and more and more souls in this world. Revelation 12 and verse 11 says, they triumphed over Satan by the blood of the Lamb. The power of their testimony. If you love the people of God, we go share a testimony. Because the blood of the Lamb has done its job already. It has washed you clean. How is your heart, your testimony? How is your testimony today? I pray it's a powerful one that will save many lives. God be all the glory.
We would like to thank you for listening to that episode of the podcast. If you would like video versions of these episodes, whether it's sermon highlights or interviews, feel free to check us out on our website or view them on our YouTube channel. That's londonchurch.org.uk. That's londonchurch.org.uk. And for all other updates and information, whether it's services, events or devotionals, you can find all that on our website also. Once again, we'd like to thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.